It's time for Speaking of Speaking, quick tips and tools to take you from stage fright to spotlight. This podcast gives you an inside look from the world of public speaking and speaking secrets you need to be bold from the stage, no matter what business you're in. The host of Speaking, Carl Richards.
Why, thank you, Matt. Yes, it's another edition of the Speaking of Speaking podcast, and we have a great guest today. We're going to be talking about how to be a tactical presenter, but I don't think this is going to be the tactical journey through speaking that you think it's going to be. We're going to take a little bit of an abrupt right turn, and you'll see what we mean as soon as we get into this discussion, because our guest today, Zach A. Knight, is a business leader and operations consultant, media specialist, podcaster, and an Army veteran. Zach's focus in his life and his business has always been leadership and service. Now, he began his career as a Metro Atlanta police officer, then infantry leader in the Army. And since leaving active duty, he's carried those principles into his business life, where he continues to help his clients to protect and grow their businesses. Now, in his book, The Legacy of Love, Zach tells his story that centers around trauma, healing, and learning, and he uses this experience to help his readers know that they aren't alone and can heal from their own traumas. So let's take a deep dive into it with Zach A. Knight. Zach, welcome to the podcast.
Carl, I appreciate you having me, brother. I'm blessed to be here.
I am so stoked to be talking about this because I haven't had anyone on the podcast yet who is in the veteran space and works with veterans and has a deep story to tell. So why don't we start there? Why don't you share your story that took you to where you are today? Go ahead.
Yeah. And you highlighted a bunch of it, man. You did a great intro on that. And, you know, I'm born and raised here in Atlanta, Georgia. So semi-Southern boy, but don't like to be called that because I'm too much of a city boy for that. A big piece of it, man, I wanted to serve. So I started as a police officer here in Atlanta. It was ups and downs for many years there, but I was a gang investigator, narcotics investigator, did a SWAT side of stuff here. Left that, my 2 weeks notice, went into basic training at 28 years old. So I did it all backwards, but it was a beautiful piece, right? So like as a police officer, I went through Dale Carnegie training. I actually went back and taught Dale Carnegie. It was my first taste of leadership as a whole. When I joined the military at 28, I had a 26-year-old drill sergeant getting in my face yelling at me and making me do push-ups when 2 weeks before I was kicking down drug dealer doors. And it's like, this is kind of an interesting shift and a huge dose of humility really, really quick. And it led to some amazing things. And back in 2019, I was in it as an infantry officer. I deployed the Green Berets to Afghanistan in 2019. Fast forward about a year and we discovered I had some nerve damage in my left arm. And it was a crazy scenario, but went down to do a push-up. I dislocated my thumb and popped it back into place. Didn't think anything of it. And then everything from the elbow to the fingertips went numb. So come to find out, some massive nerve damage that went undiscovered for about 18 months, which led to muscle atrophy and overall a hand that is a pain in my butt too often, but also a medical retirement. So I'm working through the medical retirement process. And we found out about the nerve damage about 2 years ago this month, actually, and then had the surgery. And the piece that's the up and down, you know, talk about the dark side of, you know, self-identifying as the officer or the military soldier, you know, you create what you do is your identity. And 15 years of service shifted me to when I was losing the uniform, put me in a really dark spot. And we start going through that transition. And we touched on it a little bit, but we can definitely dive into the overarching story. But essentially about 2 years ago, right before the surgery, knowing I was going to lose everything I'd been working toward, I was actually at the end of a dock. I had a pistol in my mouth, was ready to just say, screw it, and become that statistic of 22 a day that veterans kill themselves. And I was in that dark spot. The crazy part, several pieces, that wasn't rock bottom, actually, which is where my book picks up, is about 2 weeks later when the journey of self-mastery, the legacy of love piece really starts. But the week before I was at the end of a dock, I turned down an 8-figure offer for one of my companies. Didn't want the money attached to what we were doing from the investor. So on paper, at that point, I had 6 businesses, 4 of them I had scaled to 155 countries and in the first 8 months of existence. And on paper, mass success, right? Just you can look at it and be like, wow, he's crushing it. And I was 32. But I was going through all this turmoil. And I think that's what we see in this world with business owners, entrepreneurs, people, the Instagram world. Everything looks great on the outside, but on the inside, it was a mess overall. So fast forward, here we are.
Thank you for being raw and real. It's something that on a podcast, sometimes people will hold back a little bit, but I don't think you held back too much there. My question is, why is this not a movie yet? Like seriously, there's so much stuff there that most people probably be, no, that didn't all happen. There's no way that could all happen. What was the turning point? What made you crawl out of that dark space and put you on the path to where you are now?
Yeah. So I mentioned the end of a dock was not the rock bottom point. The real rock bottom point, I was losing the uniform, right? Like medical retirement, I don't have any choice. So literally the identity I had crafted, I was losing, but I had the businesses fall back on. But for me, it wasn't enough when you want something so bad, right? So fast forward that night, I actually sent a text message to my ex-wife and I told her, I'm like, hey, everything's gonna be taken care of. The life insurance got you covered. Don't worry about it. And she sent back a text. Hey, I called the cops and they're on the way. And all the internal anger and rage I had from mostly the stuff in Afghanistan, right? Leader's guilt, survivor's guilt. I lost 6 guys out of 50. So we lost so many guys. I carried so much guilt and like self-sabotage. When she said that, all that inner rage shifted toward her. And I got instantly furious with her. And honestly, that's what saved my life. And then the next 6 hours, I ran and hid from the cops. And the guy that used to be the police officer, and I'm like hiding from cops and bushes for 6 hours in this apartment complex. And that wasn't even like a blip in like the bad, right? That was like another night. And then 2 weeks later, I moved back to Atlanta, get out of that program, get off of active duty, move back to Atlanta and move in with the only guy that I had left. I have one, he's a Navy vet. He kind of understood where I was coming from. Let me sleep on the sofa in his kid's playroom because I had nowhere else to go. I'd already alienated everybody else around me. And we got into a conversation one night and he said, man, you've done all this external knowledge seeking, learning. Yeah, I have an MBA in small business management and security management and the Dale Carnegie stuff, the masterminds, the coaching, all this external knowledge. And he's like, the one thing you've never taken the time to do is to look inside, figure out who the heck you are and figure out what you love about yourself. He's like, actually, I bet you don't love yourself anymore. I laugh in his face. I'm like, bro, I love me some me, the purely arrogant side of me, like covering up that wound, right? And he's like, all right, go upstairs, look in the mirror, tell yourself you love yourself. And I'm like, okay. So I stomp upstairs too easy. And I get, I look out of my mouth and immediately have an anxiety attack for 2 hours. I'm like crippled on the floor again. That was the rock bottom point. That's the first chapter in my book. It's called A Look in the Mirror. And it talks about if you can't even love yourself, the one person that you should be able to say, I love you to, being yourself. And it led me down a path of rediscovery, falling in love with myself again, finding out the value that I bring to the world, not just the uniform. And it's led to, you know, sharing my voice, discovering my voice, discovering that impact, which is where the tactical presenter piece came from, is how do we craft that message for people to know, you know, no matter what traumas you may have been through, which everybody has their thing, right? Your voice can shift the dynamic and the rhetoric for so many people if you just share that story.
And we'll dive into that momentarily. And by the way, the link for Zach's book and how to reach Zach, that'll all be in the show notes. So if he's saying a lot, you're like, oh, he's saying a lot of great stuff. I got to write this all down. No, no, no. We'll make sure it's all in the show notes for you. But you hit on something very interesting. And I think this is maybe a challenge for a number of people is in your case, it was you identified so closely with the uniform. That was your life, be it military, be it police. That was who you were. That's how you identified you. Right? How many other people identify themselves based on their job or based on their credibility? Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, think about it. Parents, the empty nest syndrome. I'm a mother and that's all I've been for 15 years, 20 years as a stay-at-home mom. Then the kids move out and you don't know what to do with yourself. The retired guy, you know, I see it in the police and military, you retire. What do you do? Right. So it's not even necessarily like a traumatic injury that forced a transition, right. You know, you go through a divorce like I did. That's a shift. Those transition pieces, like so many people identify as, you know, the husband, the spouse, the leader, the parent, the uniform, even the corporate world or the job role. Right. Yeah. And it's like you have to detach that a little bit to know who you are outside of that role. And really it turns back to the purpose, right? Rediscovering a purpose, a passion, a community. Which is what I love about podcasting, right? Podcasters united across the world. You know, I've had my podcast since 2019, and it's amazing how it just joins people and for different conversations. And it's truly an incredible piece to like be able to have that to fall back on. Like, hey, great conversation that we would have never had without podcasting, right?
Yeah, absolutely. A huge impact. And we're certainly glad you're taking the time to chat with us today on this show. And by the way, the link for the podcast will also be in the show notes. So you can give Zach some love there too. Let's talk about shaping your story to be impactful on how you do that. Because I know that for speakers, not just people who are, you know, maybe in second careers, in some cases, third careers, they're looking at that. But even people who are in business on a regular basis, they're struggling with shaping their story. They're struggling with telling stories, period. But I know this is a space that you're working in specifically for people who have been veterans that have worn the uniform and such. So explain that a little bit. Explain the how you get there.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I draw back to my podcast back in 2019. It's really funny. Like, I was police, military at that point. I'd gone through Dale Carnegie and like that certified training. So leadership was like a big piece of my life. And before I started my podcast, I always wanted to, because I'm like, oh, it's interesting. It's fascinating. And I'm like, nobody's going to listen to me. That limiting belief. Nobody wants to hear what I have to say, right? I think a lot of us fight that when it comes to speaking. And I was in this amazing group, this mastermind, and they're like, man, you're tactical. You love leadership. Just call it tactical leadership. I'm like, interesting. I'm like, but it's still, nobody's going to listen to me. They're like, use it as a journey of discovery about tactical leadership. And don't think about it as yourself. Use it as an avenue to go learn more. Now that interests me, right? And I've shifted a little bit to the tactical leaders, the podcast, and I talk about tactics in leadership, whether that's personal or business. And it's funny, when I started getting on stage more, that same limiting belief came up. Nobody wants to hear my story, right? To me, the story I'm telling about my veteran side, I'm a dozen. There's so many veterans that struggle with this, but for somebody that's never heard that or doesn't know a veteran, or like you say, you've never interviewed a veteran on this show, like this could be an extraordinary story. And when I wrote my book, my editor, she read it and she literally texted me. She was crying. She's like, I can't believe you're going through all this. In the last 2 years that she had known me, she's like, you're going through all this while you were building and growing and people don't see it, right? But those limiting beliefs for me were like, nobody wants to hear this story, or I'm too scared, right? I don't want to share. Like the vulnerability originally was, oh, let me talk about the battles and the operations and losing the guys. That's vulnerable. But to me, the true vulnerability is sharing this piece. What's the fallout of that traumatic incident? How did it impact me for the next several years? Let me share that story, right? Because it's not about necessarily people want to listen to that story. So maybe I can impact a veteran to change his ways. Yeah. Maybe I can impact the veteran, let him know he's not alone, or the business owner, that person that feels so insecure and by themselves. Like there is somebody that has gone through a similar journey. You know, that's what sharing the story really becomes impactful, if you can get that out there.
How did it feel, though, peeling back those deeper layers of the onion, so to speak, to, okay.
Terrible. Brother, Carl, it's such a difficult thing, man. On the podcast is one thing because it's recording, right? So it's not in front of a live audience. The book, I released the book on Veterans Day this past year. So a couple months ago now, you know, I never thought anybody would read the book. I'm like, nobody wants to read this. It's one of those. I really wanted it to enhance my speaking career. I wanted to use the book to get on more stages, to share, because it's such a great leverage point. And I released the book. It ended up releasing number one in mental health and number one in philosophy and mythology on Amazon. And a lot of my leadership studies had gone back to the old Roman emperors, and all the leaders back then were philosophers and they're the philosophical leaders. So a lot of my writing went very philosophy and mythology from the tactics. And when I had my book signing week after release, people showed up. I'm like, oh, it's amazing. 40 people. It's amazing. Like, this is a great support for the release of the book. What I wasn't expecting, we actually recorded a live podcast for that. So it was like an audience and live podcast to do. It was really fun until we got to the Q&A. And then five people raised their hand. Hey, I read this in your book. Can you go deeper into it? I'm like, you read the book? I was like so shocked by that. But what's crazy is like I had so much panic about, ooh, my story. Like this is, God, I don't want anybody to know, because the first 25 pages is my intro. And it is like, this is everything. It was like cleaned out the closet attached to it. So laid it all out there. And it's all about like, hey, this is how I've effed up for years. I've tried to do my best, but I've effed up for years. I'm so worried about how people react. And the outpouring of support after that, we're like, hey, man, you're actually human. Holy cow. You're not perfect. It's amazing. So it's actually been like a huge support piece, right? And then obviously the stages have come from that. It's like, man, you know, share that on stage and see people get emotional and relate to the story. It shifts the dynamic of like, okay, I'm doing the right thing by sharing this in the veteran space.
When you're raw and real on stage and you're looking around the room, and I'm assuming you can usually see faces. Sometimes I know with the lights you can't, but I know in a lot of cases you can't. Who are the people that are having the biggest emotional, you can see it in their eyes? Are they veterans? Are they parents of veterans? Who would you say are the ones that are having the biggest emotional connection?
The vets usually do, because it is, at some points it's like triggering for them. But honestly, the biggest are military spouses or parents. People are former military spouses, right? They were married to a vet and never understood what they were going through. And as I'm telling my story, it brings a, maybe not fully, but a sense of understanding of like, this is what that person was going through. They couldn't articulate it. They couldn't tell it. They didn't have the opportunities I've had to be able to share that, right? So it brings a sense of like relatability to, wow, this is what my husband, my wife, my son, daughter was going through back then, and why that person was lashing out so bad, why it railroaded relationships, which is exactly what I did. So I'm hoping it brings a little bit of sense of relief where they understand. And this is what my ex-wife said one day, is like, at least I finally understand it wasn't all my fault, because she blamed herself for it all.
Right.
And I'm hoping it brings that type of sense of relief. But those are the people that you just see it on their face, like, oh my gosh, right? Finally, something that makes sense to them.
You've made this your journey now to not just tell your story, but encourage others to tell their story. Hence the Be a Tactical Presenter. What are some, I don't know, quick things that people can do to step into this place? We don't want to give away the store. We don't want to give away your best material here. And for that, we want you to get a hold of Zach, because he can certainly have a deeper dive conversation with you. But what are some of the key things that people need to be aware of that are top of mind when they're stepping into this arena like you've done?
You know, crafting your story is one thing, right? There are people out there that can help you craft and tell that story really well. But I think the biggest piece that people overlook, and this is what the tactical presenter piece is, and the military loves acronyms like BATTLE is my business brand, and it's Be a Tactical Leader, right? So the tactical presenter piece comes from that. But I created a framework, and it's called PREP to Be a Tactical Presenter, P-R-E-P. These are the four things that people overlook. And it starts with the pitch for the first P. How do you pitch properly to get on stage? Then once you pitch and you get accepted, or you're possibly getting accepted, what's the research you're doing for that audience, for that stage? How can you craft your message a little bit differently to be more impactful? The E is for extracting. How do you extract what you want to get out of it? Is it social proof practice, more business? Because stages are like one of the best places to garner more business. Yeah. And then the final P is produce. How do you get the results, plain and simple, that you're looking for? And those are the things, not just the story, but the pre-work before you get on the stage. And then the follow-up piece, like, how do you actually make sure that the audience got something out of it, you got something out of it, and the person that owns the stage? I host a lot of events here in Atlanta, and it's so relieving when the speaker like is willing to share and like actually help what I'm trying to build. Yeah. And the audience is like engaged, and I'm engaged. And it's like, yes, this is what a tactical presenter looks like. I think those are the things people really should focus on as they're crafting their story as well.
So just to recap then, it's PREP, which is the P is pitch, then R is for research, extracting for E, and then produce. And you're focusing on the results at that phase. Those are great points. And I'll make sure we post those in the show notes as well. Obviously, this doesn't happen overnight. It is a journey. So if you've never done this before, Zach can help you to walk through that and figure out how you're going to get your story out there. Because that's the other thing. You're right. There are people that can help you fine tune the story and the messaging and help you with the stage presence. But I like the fact that one of the things that we focused on this entire time we've been talking, I wish more people would do this, is raw and real. You shouldn't sugarcoat and hold things back. I used to do that all the time. My story is nowhere near as deep as yours, but I stuttered when I was a kid, and people are, you know, flabbergasted when I share that with them. And I used to tell the Cole's Notes version, you know, the very light version. Oh, I used to stutter when I was a kid. It was horrible. It was awful, but I overcame it. The very short version. Once I started to get real and raw with the, what did that feel like when I would stutter and stammer? That's where magic started to happen. Would you say that that's happened with you as well? And that's been your experience with people that you've helped?
Absolutely. And you look at what you're doing, right? Like, you're talking about being a broadcaster, you're on podcasts, like, your voice is so powerful now. Like, obviously that's a gift that you were able to find that piece, right? Yeah. A piece of it, what I've talked about, I highlighted in my book, one of the greatest realizations for me, and this is something that some people vehemently dislike, but a piece that really was my turning point, my turning realization, that epitome, that one moment that was like an epiphany. It was like, oh man, this is where I can start taking action, was recognizing what was broken with me, right? Recognizing something was broken. Right. I grew up, my dad's a Vietnam vet, old school, right? So I grew up, you don't fix what ain't broken. But when you look at it, and I realize like, I'm broken, and I had that realization, it's not that, you know, I'm a broken piece of trash. It's like my mindset was broken. My arm was broken. But once you realize this is broken, like, it was so empowering for me to take action. I can fix this. I'm a fixer. Men are fixers. We're great at it, right? Sometimes the ladies hate it, and sometimes our significant others hate when we go into fix it mode, right? But the reality of it is that's what we're great at. We're great at fixing. So if you can see that there's a piece for you having a little bit of a speech impediment, you went and fixed it. You took the action. Yeah. And now listen to it. You've used your voice for years as an empowering thing. That's the key, right? That's the key. Like, what is it that's limiting you? Figure out what's broken in that chain, fix it, and then use it to empower yourself like you've done, right? It's a beautiful thing when you see the magic start happening. Like, ah, they got it and they fixed it. And now they're using it as a strength, not a weakness.
My guest today has been Zach A. Knight. Wow, what a great discussion. We could talk about this all day. Unfortunately, people might have to take a bathroom break if we did that every now and again. But you have a program or you have a way that you help people on a regular basis. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so the third Tuesday of every month, I try to make it easy. I do this free workshop. It's on Zoom. It's the tactical presenter, everything we've talked about, right? My tidbits attached to a couple of things. But it's in the morning, 9:30 Eastern, but every third Tuesday. And it's really highlighting how to use your voice as a powerful piece, how to discover it, empower yourself, and then share your voice. That's really what it's focused on. And there's a workbook attached to it that people can take, run with it, use it. But I really love highlighting this and how powerful people's voices can be. So that's my piece of trying to help the audience and help folks do that.
And what we'll do is we'll post the link to that and we'll put that in the show notes. And there's a workbook that does go along with that too, right?
Absolutely. Nothing too crazy, but it's where that prep framework comes in. And it's all on my events page and downloadable. So even if you don't like me and you don't want to talk to me, it's a good resource to hopefully find a little bit of something that moved the needle for you. Right.
Which if you don't want to talk to him after hearing him tell his story, what's wrong? But no, seriously, Zach, man, this has been so much fun chatting with you and getting to know you a little better. We had a conversation, obviously, before we recorded this and we had a little bit of a chat, but I feel like I know you that much better. So thank you for taking the time to chat with us today. Before I turn you loose on the world to go and help people like you do so well, I'll give you the final thought.
I think we hit it so well, man. And I appreciate being here. I appreciate you letting me share. And really the final thought, figure out that piece and use it to be powerful. Use your voice to be so powerful in what you're doing and have that courage to take that action. That's huge.
And I think that's a great place to leave it. Zach, thanks for joining me on the podcast today.
Thanks, Carl.
And remember, get out there and own the platform.
Thanks for listening to the Speaking of Speaking podcast. Fired up about something you heard today? Want to learn more? Be sure to visit carlspeaks.ca. And don't forget to follow Carl on Twitter @CarlRichard72 or join the Facebook group Speaking of Speaking.